WWE, the custody of a child will be determined in a match. Oh, I knew he was going to do that.
Hulk Hogan is a jabroni, Hollywood blonde, but my boss, Mr. McMahon, is not jabroni.
Get a horse of time, fool.
Put that cigarette out. Hello, interwebs and audio world. Welcome to another episode of Drunk Wrestling History. As always, I'm your designated host, Adam. With us, as always,
it's Scott.
And it's Eddie. It's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
I'm here to make sure that these two fine gentlemen have a safe podcast without injury, because, again, that is something that can legitimately happen in this. But, again, safety first. Make sure that whether this is your first time listening or 50th time, first off, how the hell is this your 15th time listening? This is only the second episode.
That'd be crazy.
But, yeah. I mean, if someone...
Not even possible.
But if someone, like, really freaking loved that first episode, then, hey... Kudos to them. But we're available on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and make sure that you follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @wrestling_drunk. Again, that's @wrestling_drunk. Today, doesn't matter what time you people listen to this, there's just so much star power available. Whether it's in the ring, backstage, or just any involvement with the company, there are a lot of celebrities that appear in various shows, and they do each have their own unique way of creating impact, both for entertainment or involvement, and just in so many ways. They've been involved, and just want to see what these guys think about all the celebrities that have been involved with wrestlers. But actually, before we get to that, just wondering, what do we have to drink tonight?
Well, with it being a celebrity theme show, I am drinking the beer from one of my favorite celebrities, Dave Mustaine of Megadeth. It's called Atu Limon, and it is made by Unibro. It's 4.5% beer, so it's okay. And it's a Belgian. It's very good.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's excellent. And I'm actually drinking the Metallica bourbon called Blackened again. So that is my celebrity drink of choice.
Awesome stuff. So do you want to go into like who's already wrestled in a ring or just
Well, I guess we could start with celebrities who've wrestled.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I guess you could start with somebody that actually headlined a WrestleMania with Lawrence Taylor. Well, I mean, if you're going to talk celebrities in the ring, what bigger celebrity did a headline a WrestleMania?
T.
Yes, but technically he had a tag team partner that kind of carried that one for him. Lawrence Taylor
had Bam Bam Bigelow who carried it for him.
But he wasn't his tag team partner.
No, but I mean, come on.
Okay, so we're talking the difference between a tag team match and a singles match. Lawrence Taylor at WrestleMania 10, correct?
No, it was 11.
11, I'm sorry.
11.
WrestleMania 11 was Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam Bigelow in the main event.
Fuck.
That was a singles match.
What a sad-ass main event.
But hey, it was WrestleMania 11. What other matches happened on that card? Pop quiz.
Oh.
Exactly.
HBK and Diesel.
And Diesel.
Right. Yeah.
And they had the Playboy Playmates in each of their corners.
So the best part of 11 was the fucking vaccine bitch. Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. Thanks, Jenny. Way to bring back rickets.
Right. You know what they call that, the anti-vax movement? They call it Jenny McCarthyism.
Oh, boy.
Comedic genius of
Ping,
Eddie.
Pow, boom.
Pow. So we had a celebrity actually headline a WrestleMania that wasn't part of a tag team event, which WrestleMania 1 was Hogan and Mr. T against Paul Orndorff and Rowdy Roddy Piper. Lawrence Taylor had nobody to depend on but himself. I mean, yes, you're right. Bigelow carried him through that match, but Lawrence Taylor actually had to wrestle a match against Bam Bam Bigelow in the main event of 11. So it's a very, very strange concept to have somebody that didn't evolve through WWF / WWE to main event a WrestleMania. It hasn't happened since.
Well, Rousey.
But she was in WWE for almost a year and a half up to that point. Not that she had a ton of matches under her belt.
Right, it was LT's first match.
Right, Rousey at least had some MMA background. Mm-hmm. She had some wrestling matches under her belt up to that point. And right. I believe more warranted Lawrence Taylor's place on the card as a main event. Like, I think Lawrence Taylor probably would have been better suited to be like in the middle of the card, perhaps. Not necessarily a curtain jerker. I mean, it was in New York. He was a New York Giant at the time,
of
course.
No, it was in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Which is like baby New York.
Okay. So you had the biggest star for the Giants.
Jersey is shitty New York. Connecticut is big. I hope I don't upset any of our listeners from Jersey.
All three of them?
Yeah. But yeah, Connecticut. Yeah, it wasn't New York. It was fucking Connecticut.
All right.
God damn it. There. You know what? I went, the first time I went to New York, we actually, we were driving into New York, and it's like fucking crazy over there on the East Coast. Cause like, so we're in California, right? So like for us to drive to another state is like, it's an ordeal, right? Like it's a whole day. Over there, it's like crazy because we drove into New York and we missed a fucking exit and we ended up in Connecticut. And we had to get off of Connecticut and make a U-turn and go back to New York. It was like, what kind of shit is this?
Well, yeah, in California, right? Like you drive eight ways any direction and you're still in fucking California.
For like a day.
New York, you drive 8 hours. You're in like a whole separate time zone.
Right,
it's
right.
Insane. California is just a different animal altogether. But aside from Jersey being the armpit of New York, right, offending all three listeners in New Jersey again.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, where are we going with that? See, this is the drunk history coming into play.
We were talking about 11. 11 was at Hartford at the Hartford Civic Center.
So you had the biggest star for the New York Giants.
I think the Hartford Civic Center is like in a mall.
A shopping mall, yes.
Yeah. Right.
Is that where the first Nitro took place, where Lex Luger came in?
No, dude. That was in Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Thank you.
Right.
The other mall.
The Minnesota.
The Minnesota, right. We're not trying to offend our Minnesota listeners. So,
him.
Yes. So, celebrities have definitely played a role at WrestleMania. Your favorite person in the entire United States, the POTUS, actually had two WrestleManias at his venue in Atlantic City. Donald Trump... had WrestleMania 4, which is the best of the WrestleManias, spoiler alert, and WrestleMania 5 take place at his Trump Plaza in Atlantic City. So that would be playing a role in the history of WrestleMania. Donald Trump was a part of a match at WrestleMania 23. And these are just some examples of celebrities at WrestleMania.
Right, but here's the thing that's fucked up, is I just recently found out, like I think this year, 4 and 5 were not actually at Trump Plaza. They were at the, it was like the Atlantic City Civic Center or something like that. It was like the building was owned by Atlantic City itself, not by Trump. But Trump put his name on it for that event. It was like a really weird thing. Like what? It wasn't actually called that, but he pretended it was called that.
Then why did he get to sit ringside? Because we didn't know the difference at the time,
yeah,
I guess.
He was like a semi-promoter. I don't fucking know, dude. Just don't get me started.
Well, he's your favorite person. Like, I'm just trying to bring him up into
Okay. You told me not to do this, dude, so don't make me do it.
Do what? I'm just saying.
Cut a promo on a motherfucker.
Anyway, celebrities have always been a big part of the WWE / WWF. We know this. They actually have a celebrity wing in the Hall of Fame for celebrities. Drew Carey, for example. But they've always been a huge part of WWE / WWF and even NWA WCW. For example, RoboCop. Right?
Dude, I didn't even watch WCW then. Like, I was, you know me, like I was a WWE till I die, right?
Yes.
But fuck?
RoboCop.
Dude, I think it was one of those things where everybody came to school on Monday and they're like, dude, RoboCop was in the pay-per-view. I was like, what are you talking about? RoboCop was there. Like, he's not real. They're like, no, I think he's real. Like what? Like, that's why I don't watch WWE. At this point, I had cable. I was like, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that because fucking RoboCop is there. It was the stupidest thing I ever heard. Also, he's not a celebrity. He's a fictional fucking person. Like, he's not real.
It would be the equivalent of, like, Luke Skywalker headlining a match at WrestleMania.
Well, you mean like Luther Campbell of Chewbacca Crew fame?
Well, that would actually be better than RoboCop.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Because RoboCop didn't do a song called Fuck Martinez.
Or Put Her in the Buck.
Exactly. Or Pop That Coochie. But I digress.
This is not a Two Live Crew podcast, or for that matter, a RoboCop podcast. So this thing has completely gone off the rails. Celebrities in wrestling.
Right.
Okay, so that's where this is going. And what we're going to be discussing is basically their impact on the sport and maybe who had the biggest impact on, yes, sport, not entertainment, sport. And who had maybe the biggest impact on it, whether it be WCW, AWA, NWA, WCW, you name it. Who had the biggest impact at the time? So WrestleMania has had no shortage of celebrity guests. Liberace, for example, at one. They've always had big names sing the national anthem. Gladys Knight, for example, at four, who looked like a NASCAR.
Right. That was cool.
Right. She had every single possible sponsor on her jacket at four, but did an incredible rendition. It's not the national anthem, right? It's God Bless America.
Was it God Bless America? It used to be the national anthem.
Right, but they changed it up.
Yeah, but I don't remember what year they did that.
That might have been Aretha Franklin at three that they changed it up?
Yeah, maybe. You might be right.
Okay. But there's
which obviously was the best one to ever sing that song.
Right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right. So celebrities have always had an influence.
Reba McEntire was good too, though.
She was good. You're right. I'm going to say my favorite probably was Gladys Knight at four.
Yeah.
She was incredibly strong.
Yeah.
Incredibly strong. But celebrities have always played a part. Drew Carey, he was in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
He was in it.
Yeah.
Overall, Adam, I'm going to ask you, moving over to the celebrity side of wrestling, and we know that Raw had celebrity general managers. We know that Jeremy Piven, for example, came in and called SummerSlam SummerFest. So we've had some botches in the ring as well with celebrities. They haven't always been fantastic. Who has been your favorite up to this point in terms of being able to provide quality to the product?
I did not see this question coming.
Ah, curveball. Curveball.
Have you not been paying attention for the last 10 minutes?
No.
Well, based on episode one, we know that Adam's forte is basically from 2002 to current day.
2000 and up, yes.
Right. Yes, 2000 to current day. So if you had to pick a favorite celebrity that's been involved in any aspect, be it a general manager, a WrestleMania match, whatever it might be, who has been your favorite up to this point, and who do you think has provided the biggest bang for the buck, quote unquote?
I may have a few answers later on this. I could give two right Talk now tease. that are just answers. One of which is on TNA Impact, Adam Pac-Man Jones during his suspension. I think he was with the Bengals at the time, and then there was controversy with his actual involvement. I don't know if it was any particular trainers that he was working with, but somehow he was able to be stationed around the area of the soundstage where they were doing that show. So there was minimal involvement and influence where he was going to get involved. So it was just opening the door of, well, whether it was TNA or WWE, of more wrestlers or more athletes taking the leap into this new platform. I know that obviously Mike Tyson has been involved, but I think just in my particular sports background, both having played X amount of years ago and as a very involved fan of all the major sports leagues, that was definitely one that stood out at the time where there was competition between maybe Impact having the more quality wrestling and WWE having more entertainment part of it. I think that was just a headline that I happened to follow, and it really just got people talking both about him and about the company. So it was whether it was a marketing campaign or not, it definitely worked, and it got me watching consistently. Even if he wasn't involved, it exposed me to the quality wrestling that they had over there at that time. And yeah, some of those wrestlers, they're now in WWE, or I'm paying attention to where they're at today. So I think he did play a factor of being involved and hooking people in.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Pac-Man Jones?
This is a valid question. This is a valid question, but it worked to get
He's
Adam.
He's called Pac-Man?
But that's his nickname.
That's his nickname.
His name is Adam Jones, but he was called Pac-Man because he was a cornerback.
Adam Jones is like, that's the guitar player from Tool.
He was also a cornerback for the Bengals. And he, Pac-Man,
what the fuck
I would,
is a cornerback?
A cornerback is somebody that defends.
On defense.
He plays against the wide receivers. He's defense against the wide receivers, and I believe he was called Pac-Man because he would eat up the passes that the quarterbacks would throw.
He ate footballs. Much,
well.
In theory.
Not so, literally.
Yeah. So I guess just with the help of, with the help of ESPN graphics and Fox Sports with just so graphic heavy, when they would emphasize all of his defensive plays. And, I mean, at the time, at his peak, he was a fantastic defenseman. Just all the routes that he did to juke everybody out and make his way to the end zone. He had several productive takeaways. They added those graphics of all the dots to trace out his route. And then I want to, it would sound like something that Chris Berman would go, oh, he intercepted. I mean, that's how legitimately.
I saw a porn video that sounded like that. Quack, quack.
Remind me again why you're on this show.
Who, me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your wrestling knowledge. That's right.
There was that.
Yeah. Anyway, but it does show that having celebrities involved in your product does put more eyes on it. I had actually forgotten about Adam Jones being involved in Impact until you just mentioned it right now. That's how forgettable it was to me. But TNA did its job, so to speak, because you remember that very well, and it brought you in to actually watch their product. So that just shows the effect that wrestling or that celebrities have on wrestling.
Yeah, just not just showing a bias towards one company, but like being exposed to the product overall. And like even with all the involvements that were taking place in TNA with New Japan, they were even bringing in Tiger Mask to do a few matches on Impact. That showed me, there's a world beyond just the two that are domestic. And so, I mean, just a celebrity involvement just exposes everyone to new platforms, and I'm sure the Impact, pun intended or not intended, whatever, however you say it. I don't know. Grammar's not working right now because it is past midnight.
Who are the drinkers here?
Dude, you're on your like third Dr. Pepper too, dude.
Yeah, we might need to cut you off, dude.
I'll switch to Diet Dr. Pepper.
There you go.
There we go.
You're not driving, are you?
I don't know, but I eventually I'll have to pee, but you know.
It's not in front of us. Damn it.
All right. But, go ahead.
I don't remember where I was at. Just the like even wrestlers who didn't know who Pac-Man Jones was, they started watching football as well. So I mean it was the way it was executed, I thought it was a win-win for both leagues.
Yeah.
For both stages.
Okay. I'd like to point out a really good celebrity who's still involved with the company and has been. The Blue Moon. Give me the blue. I'm being beered another beer. And I'm requesting it. I was offered a variety of beers.
Thank you, Andy Bernard. Blue Moon.
Thank you. I think a very overlooked celebrity who definitely will be a Hall of Famer at one point when she stops hosting the red carpet of the Hall of Fame is the great Maria Menounos.
Oh,
and I'll tell you why.
She shit her pants at 28, right?
Exactly right. Yeah. She dutied
on
like...
False.
Was that on Beth Phoenix's face?
I believe it was.
She shit on Beth Phoenix's face.
Suddenly became a scat film.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, my favorite type of film. Go ahead. Come over here. All right.
Oh, hold on. We have guest commentary. Hold on.
Guest commentary for my wife, Carissa. She wants to weigh in on the Maria Menounos.
She have broken wedding ring.
Yes.
About to weigh in on Maria Menounos.
I just think it's incredible that a woman is so into wrestling and got so much coverage. Like, she's just like, she actually had a match. It's amazing. You know?
You fucking hate her, though.
I do a little. Yeah, I don't like to see her. She's just in my life way too much. But
it's unfortunate she had makeup on her pants.
That did happen.
Duty.
You guys are all idiots.
We've been drinking.
Fucking
I'm sorry.
Retarded. I'm sorry. Can I say
something? Yeah, it's okay. You're drunk.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Sorry.
It's like Jesse Ventura saying Chinaman at 4.
Well, we'll get. Spoiler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler. Yes.
But, it was makeup, you idiots. But, I mean, it's cool.
She Duty.
Was, no, I don't necessarily love her, but I appreciate, like, her respect for wrestling and, like, the way she's into it. Yeah. And
do you feel the same way about Snooki at 27?
No.
I didn't until she did the backflip, and that was fucking badass.
That was pretty cool.
And,
oh,
like,
my
it
gosh.
It was pretty fucking cool, you know? I mean, because at that point, they were just like, whatever, you know?
Yes.
Like, it was like, whatever woman can do, like, anything that will get us, like, hits on Instagram or something, like, nobody that earned it, you know?
Right. That was that era, for sure.
So,
yes.
So, Snooki was actually pretty fucking cool. She did a backflip. That was pretty fucking cool.
Okay.
At least she got in the ring and did something.
Yes, she did. Like, she did.
If I'm going to have to watch it anyways.
Right. It could have been worse.
Like, it could have been way
It could have been much worse.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
But no, Maria Menounos really annoys me. But she deserves to be honored in this celebrity episode because...
No.
and Maria, if you're listening, some of us love you and some of us hate you.
No.
And some of us really think that you shit your pants at 28.
And the rest of us hope you shit your pants at 28.
You guys are all stupid.
Okay. Thank you. Another one. Here's the thing that's fucking to me is like the biggest fucking celebrity who's not in the Hall of Fame, which is like this is nuts, is Cyndi Lauper. And there were a few.
Yes.
There was a thing like a couple years ago, like on Twitter, where it was, I think it was. Fucking stupid Meltzer, like, wrote an article about, like, they offered her a Hall of Fame spot, and she didn't want it, and then she went on Twitter and said bullshit, like, they didn't do that.
Wait, Meltzer was wrong?
Yeah.
What?
Imagine that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know.
Never happens.
No, I know it's hard to believe, but just try to suspend disbelief.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I know. Right. So yeah, but, I mean, dude, how the fuck is Cyndi Lauper not in the Hall of Fame? First of all, she should be in all the Halls of Fame.
All of them.
Right?
All of them. Doesn't matter what it's for.
Did you ever see that video where she was singing? I forget what song she was singing, but it was, like, in an amphitheater. It was, like, the Concord Pavilion, and, like, it was, like, an outdoor show. And, like, in the middle of the song, like, a fucking pigeon flew over her and shit in her mouth.
Was that pigeon named Maria Menounos?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's almost as bad as Randy Johnson throwing that pitch and killing the pigeon that happened to dramatically fly across
the
baseball's path.
I think the pigeon was named Wendy. But, I mean, like, she was such a huge thing. Like, I remember, like, as a young child, I mean, Cyndi Lauper was, like, the biggest fucking thing ever, right?
Without rock and wrestling, really, does wrestling ascend to the plateau that it hits in the 80s without the efforts of Cyndi Lauper, Mr. T, Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan? There are all these forces in place. But if you take Cyndi Lauper out of that equation, I agree with you 100%. I don't think that it ascends to the heights that it hits without somebody like Cyndi Lauper playing a part in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say. Like, you can't go back and rewrite history, but, like, it's absolutely possible that it wouldn't have. I mean, she was, like, super... I think she's really overlooked. I think a lot of people don't give her credit for how big of a part of that she was.
And it wasn't just WrestleMania either, right? Like, she took a place in the war to settle the score.
Is that where Hot Rod kicked her head?
Right.
That's fucking awesome.
Yes, she was in that as well. So it wasn't like a one-off appearance for her. Like,
she was
fully invested in this thing.
Yeah.
She had her manager involved in it. She got Captain Lou to turn face.
Right.
Like, there was a whole thing about it. So, like, I agree with you that she should absolutely be in the WWE Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about it. The role she played in getting rock and wrestling and WWE in general to ascend to the heights that it did in the 80s, that doesn't happen without Cyndi Lauper.
Right, she's not in the fucking Hall of Fame, but Drew Carey is.
It's a travesty of
and
justice.
And, like, some other chumps. Like, I mean, there've got to be other fucking fools.
Celebrity-wise, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, the celebrity wing.
Oh, like Jeremy Piven. Summerfest.
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
But nor should he be.
But he's a fool.
Right, right. He would fall more on the fool side than the Hall of Fame side.
Right.
Bob Barker.
Bob Barker is the guy they should put in the Hall 100%. Of Fame before he's dead. Bob Barker's like dead, basically.
Right? Yes.
He's like, have you seen him? He's like the Crypt Keeper.
Him and Betty White are like literally just hanging on by a thread.
He's like Betty White, bang the Crypt Keeper. Crypt Keeper.
Rickard's red, fool.
He's like Betty White, bang the Crypt Keeper. And we ended up with Bob Barker. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, he's like 400 fucking years old. Like, put him in the Hall of Fame. Now, pronto.
Quickly.
Yeah. Get it together, Vince.
Yeah. If we have anything to do with this, damn it.
Yeah.
Adam, you mentioned Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
The role he played at WrestleMania 14... It goes way beyond, because that WWE was in a different spot when that WrestleMania happened. There was the NWO going on over in WCW, and they were running wild over everybody, and WWE was literally teetering on being bankrupt and going under, and WCW potentially being the only wrestling game in town. I kind of feel like Mike Tyson maybe changed that a little bit. People would argue it was the Mick Foley title change. I think having Mike Tyson involved at 14 was a huge turning point for WWF.
Well, wasn't the Raw after 14 the first Raw for the 81 weeks or 82 weeks where Raw won the ratings?
Well, again, I'm not Dave Meltzer, so I don't have that information specifically, but I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, you're not nearly as sexy as Dave Meltzer.
Who is? Who is?
Adam.
Well, okay. For the people listening at home.
I need to look at right now. Yeah,
Adam, your face for radio is second to none. But yes, I believe that one. Well, and let's not forget, X-Pac actually returned at that Raw from WCW to WWF / WWE.
That's what where he said, Hogan, you said I couldn't cut the mustard. Well, you can't cut the mustard.
Right.
Right. Brilliant. Brilliant promo.
Yeah, riveting stuff.
Riveting stuff.
No, I mean, not on the level of Kennedy by any stretch.
Right.
But X-Pac, riveting stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Incredible. But... Right. Mike Tyson taking WWE again to that level, because Mike Tyson was a huge name in the late 90s, was still, even after biting off Holyfield's ear.
Oh, no, he was the world's most famous cannibal.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Second to none. All the other cannibals took a backseat to Tyson.
Exactly.
He took WWE to another level, and that was always on ESPN. You saw it on all the sports networks. When the Mike Tyson was on, that was a thing. We were actually at Royal Rumble 98. Remember when he was in the luxury suite with Shane McMahon, and you could just tell from that show it was about to go to another level, and then WrestleMania 14 happened, and that happened. Like, it went to another level. Stone Cold became champion, and boom.
Also, if you were to go on the WWE Network and watch the Rumble 98, I was on the hard camera the whole show with my friend Todd, and we had very offensive signs that in 1998 were acceptable, but today they are not acceptable to repeat.
Right.
Therefore, I would just direct you to the videotape of the Royal Rumble 98. There's a particular part where there's a close-up of Vader, and you can see it behind his head. And we also went, remember, the next night we went
Fresno.
To Fresno. The next night we went to Fresno for Raw.
For Raw, yeah.
And that was where Tyson got in the ring with Stone Cold the first time. Where
yes.
You ruined it.
Yeah, there was the pull apart in the ring.
Yeah,
and the whole
and like
bit.
That one dude, like all the money fell out of that one dude's pockets, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also the same night also where we thought Undertaker was coming down from the ceiling after he'd been burned in the coffin.
Oh, right.
And there was Shawn Michaels, and they like barbecued his gear and shit.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You guys were, Triple H had the big fucking dick, the big like Pepperidge Farm sausage dick.
No, that was his real penis.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that was not a sausage.
All right, well, I mean, look, I understand why Stephanie left Macho Man for him then.
Yeah, and why WWF never marketed the Suck the Cook aprons, I'll never know, yeah, because I think those would have really sold well.
Yeah.
But aside from that...
Probably because Vince was upset that Steph was sucking the cook.
By the cook, you mean Macho Man? Oh, okay. I'll move on from that.
All right.
So you could really feel when Tyson got involved with WWF that it was really ascending to the next level, much like when Cyndi Lauper got involved with WWF in like 85.
Yes.
That it was really, you could see it taking that next step. I would actually say maybe a little bit more than those. And when you and I had this conversation originally, I was siding with you that Tyson was the biggest influence on wrestling.
Yeah.
We had the discussion, maybe it was RoboCop. We decided no, maybe it was Tyson. I'm going to say actually maybe it was Mr. T.
See, that's what I was saying a couple days ago when we first started talking about this podcast.
Right.
The T was like, because, you know, the whole like mythical story of Vince McMahon, and he borrowed all the money he could, and he put his house up for one, and he
hinged everything on one.
Yeah, and he sold Georgia to Crockett for $1 million to put the money into one, and T was a big, big fucking part of it. Like, I know, like, a lot of people turned it on because they were like, oh my God, T's going to be in a fight.
Right.
That was huge.
Yep.
So T was, and then T stuck around till two when he fought Piper.
He did. Mm-hmm. Yep, put on the boxing gloves and they actually had a boxing match.
Yeah, and that's why I've always thought T was the best celebrity, because T was there like at his prime.
Yes, right? He was.
Like, Tyson was like, well, Tyson was going to, I don't know if you remember, but Tyson was going to be a special guest referee on Saturday Night's Main Event in like February 1990.
Correct.
But then he got smoked by fucking Buster Douglas.
In Japan, yes.
Right, and then Buster Douglas took his place.
I remember that.
And it was like stupid as fuck.
Yes.
That was where they did that like... where Buster Douglas said to Mean Gene, he's like, Hogan and I are going to go out drinking. And Mean Gene was like, oh my God, drinking? And he goes, yeah, Hogan, he's a whole milk man. Me, I'm a buttermilk man. And I was like, dude, I was like 11. I was like, what a dumbass joke.
I'm not buying his video game now.
Yeah, right, right.
Fuck
right,
Buster
right,
Douglas.
Right, right, right. Yeah, but T was legit, dude. And the cool thing about T also was he was there, so they sent him and Hogan out. Like, he got a lot of shit, dude. Roddy Piper hated Mr. T. I think Orndorff was not a Mr. T fan. Hogan, I think, was kind of cool with him, and I think Mean Gene was too. But T was cool because he put the fucking work in to go out and promote the show.
Yes, he did.
He was there when Hogan choked Belzer out and put him to sleep.
That's right.
And he said, oh, he's just sleeping.
Because
he was right. He kept it real. He was sleeping.
Yes, you're right. Mr. T was 100% committed to WWF
right
at the time. And without Mr. T, without Cyndi Lauper, without those celebrity involvements, Liberace, even if you want to go there, Muhammad Ali, I don't think that WrestleMania succeeds to the point that it did, to where it became a household name.
Right.
And who knows? It could have reverted back to the territories.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That could have completely caved in on Vince McMahon.
Right, well, because you still had Crockett.
Correct.
Right, was going strong.
Yep, Mid-South was still a thing.
Right, Cowboy was, Ganya yep was. And
yeah, AWA was still.
I think maybe even the Von Erichs might have even
World still Class was still
right, I mean,
going
there was
strong,
lot,
absolutely.
They had a lot of competition at that point.
Yeah, 85, it was still a wide-open market.
Right.
WWF was not the only game in town by any stretch.
Right, but
there were still a lot of players.
Right, but I mean, they took like a huge step for Mankind and a big fucking step for Vince McMahon.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right, and Mankind wasn't even on the scene yet. Mr. T helped Vince take that right huge step. So... Yeah. I'm going to agree with you that Mr. T was definitely the biggest celebrity ever
right
to be involved with wrestling and make it take that next step to, I don't want to call it superstardom, but be able to take that next step to where it became a household name.
He was the most consequential. Like, he did the most for it.
Right. Whereas today, Vince McMahon thinks that person is Brock Lesnar or Tyson Fury.
Oh, my God.
And he's wrong. Back then, when he said it was Mr. T, dude, I think he was right.
Dude, I barely know who the fuck Tyson Fury is. You know what I mean? But back then, you knew exactly who T was. Please.
Well, yeah.
Vince, smarten up.
Oh, he's a 70-year-old man and blah, blah, blah. But still.
Yeah, and like, he knows some guy who's a boxer is like 14 feet fucking tall. And
yeah.
Fuck that.
Anyway, we're not talking current day WWE. We're just... Right. We're discussing celebrities that have been involved in the sport and have helped it take that big next step. I would say Mr. T would be number one. Tyson would definitely be number two.
Yeah.
In terms of actually being a part of it and helping it take that next step. Mm-hmm. Adam, are you going to stick with Pac-Man Jones? Or after hearing these arguments, would you be more a little more on board with maybe saying Mr. T or Tyson?
I would definitely agree with you on that because, I mean... To build a strong foundation, that's you'd say that T is bringing it up to a standard, and especially with DX being involved with the wars with WCW, bringing in celebrity reinforcements really showed the rebellious side, the competition, how passionate that was between the two companies. And either way, it got you talking, but also got you watching each show. So, yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm definitely not straying away with the fact that any celebrity involved, no matter how high their platform is, it is bringing awareness to each league or whatever their background is. But just for the benefit of WWF, WWE, those dudes definitely sound right.
You know what? Since he mentioned WCW, one celebrity guest that I forgot about that. I didn't even like WCW. I was like, during the war, I was like, WWE for life. But let's not forget about Insane Clown Posse.
Well, right? They were in WWF too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was in WCW where Shaggy 2-Dope got powerbombed off of a fucking bus. Right? I mean, that's as fucking cool as it gets. Like,
well, WCW also had Karl Malone. They had Jay Leno.
Oh, fuck.
They actually made Mongo, Steve McMichael, a horseman at one point. Like, WCW went all in with the celebrities.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of the times, they just missed. They had Kevin Green at one point.
I think I remember even DDP having some kind of rivalry with Jay Leno.
Yeah. Or I think was Jay it Jay Leno
or Ed, like or Ed Hall?
What the fuck is Ed Hall?
He was their former announcer. For the show,
do you remember when they had Michael somebody. Buffer as their announcer, and then they got fucking Ricky Rackman as the backstage, like Ricky Rackman was like the Renee Young of Nitro,
Ricky from Headbangers Ball.
Yeah,
Ricky
yeah, yeah.
Rackman.
Keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the goal. Yeah, yeah. But like, it's like
I don't remember that.
Oh yeah, 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 dude. Yeah, he was like the backstage interview guy. He was like the fucking Kelly. What the fuck, Catherine Kelly?
Oh, wow.
Of Nitro for a while, yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
I don't remember that at and all, then, Ricky then, Rackman being a part.
Yeah, and then Michael Buffer was the fucking announcer. And like, dude, I remember hearing Howard, just a bit of background, I'm the biggest Howard Stern fan in the world.
Right.
Howard used to have Michael Buffer on the show, and they sort of, like, Baba Booey kind of figured out how much Michael Buffer would get paid. Dude, Michael Buffer was fucking paid. WCW was paying him, like, AEW guys don't get paid as much in a year as Michael Buffer got paid a week. Wow. Back then.
The ring announcer.
Yeah, the fucking ring announcer.
Why did they go under again? WCW? I'm still baffled to this day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. Right. Well, Adam, I will say you were the only person I have ever talked to that watched TNA/Impact because of Adam Jones. I had actually forgotten about that guy until you mentioned it, but it does go to show that no matter what celebrity is brought into the world of wrestling, it's going to appeal to somebody, and somebody is going to watch wrestling because of that celebrity. So it just goes to show the power of bringing celebrities into the sport.
That's true. I started watching TNA when Sarah Palin was on the show.
I think I remember that storyline as well.
TNA brought in Sarah Palin. You guys watch way too much TNA.
But it was
convincing though.
Was it the real Sarah Palin?
No, it was.
Hell no.
No.
Okay.
It was like that.
They marketed it to the convincing point, but yeah.
It was kind of like that movie Nayland Palin. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've never seen that one. Can you give me some details about that one?
Palin gets Nayland.
Like she would walk around with a nail gun and.
Not that kind of. Palin gets nailed.
Oh, this was your type of movie. The kind you normally watch.
It's the kind
on your phone in the bathroom.
It's the kind of movie I'll watch alone.
While eating In-N-Out?
Oh.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
Nice. Well, let's not absolve WWE here / WWF. They haven't always made the right call with celebrities. Earlier I mentioned Drew Carey. Let's not forget Mike Adamley.
Oh, God.
I use that term loosely.
Remember when he said Jeff Harvey?
on his first appearance.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah.
So like I said, WWE hasn't hit home runs on every occasion.
That's why the celebrity, the commissioner or the celebrity general manager. That's why it just felt uneventful.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
but like one really honed in. Yeah. That's
you know what was
good.
A great when they were doing the Raw Guest House? You know which one was fucking great? Was ZZ Top. Because it was like, it was always one of those like wrestling lore things that ZZ Top are big wrestling fans, right?
And right.
Like, of course, you know, they are. They're from fucking Houston. You know, they grew up with like Paul Bosch.
Yes.
And this things of this nature. And Jim Ross used to like, I don't know, blog about they drive around on tour with 40,000 feet of fucking videotape of wrestling, whatever the fuck. But they were, I think they might have been the first celebrity guest host of Raw. And they did like a bit of a backstage bit. And then they came out to out into the arena. And I swear to God, it was not ZZ Top. Because they didn't go to the ring. They only came out on the stage and they sort of like high-fived the crowd. And they only shot them from like a really long distance. And you just saw these guys with long hair and big fucking beards. You never saw a close-up of them.
So you're saying it was not ZZ Top?
It was not fucking ZZ Top, dude.
Well, how did they get away with doing that?
Well, because the stuff backstage was pre-recorded somewhere, right? But when the guys came out to the ring, I guarantee it wasn't ZZ Top. Go back and watch.
Who was it? Three-man band with long beards?
I don't know who the fuck it was.
Interesting.
No, dude, it was probably like Zack Ryder and...
Will you stop fucking saying that name on this show? Jesus.
Well, you know what? I wasn't going to make a point of saying it on every show, but now I am.
Yeah, I guess you are now. That's your gimmick.
I don't know who it Shitty was, gimmick. Dude, but it was like two nerds. But it was like, I saw it backstage. It was definitely ZZ Top. And when they came out, just from the way they shot them, like from a long distance, I was like, they're not showing up close. I don't think it's ZZ Top. It might have been like Adam Rose and like his Lemon Party or something like that.
Well...
If you don't know why Scott's laughing, go to lemonparty.org.
Or don't.
Or don't.
I highly recommend
maybe
not.
No, he's probably right.
Going to lemonparty.org.
Anyway, I think we pretty much covered it for the celebrities, right?
Well, yeah, and I can't say enough bad things about Jeremy Piven with the Summerfest. If you're going to show up, you got to know what you're plugging.
Yes.
That's a huge fail.
Yes.
Mr. T showed up. He elevated WrestleMania 1. To an extent, he elevated WrestleMania 2. Mike Tyson showed up. He made WrestleMania 14 next level. Those two guys are really the epitome. And Cyndi Lauper, to your point, Ed, those people are really the epitome of why wrestling brings in a celebrity. And it's to take their sport or whatever event they're promoting to the next level. And that's a shining example of doing so.
Right. I agree.
Absolute impact that they could do involved in the ring, outside the ring, especially with Jon Stewart trying to preserve Ric Flair's record when he hit John Cena with a chair that one SummerSlam.
Excellent point. Jon Stewart. That's one we didn't mention. The Muppets as well.
Also, Steve Allen at 6.
Yes, and Bob Uecker at 4.
Steve Allen upset the Bolsheviks.
They've always had their colorful backstage personalities. Vanna White, Bob Uecker,
some guy called Vance White.
Some guy called Vance White. He's been text messaging me. They always have the backstage personalities, totally colorful. It made a lot of those earlier WrestleManias very memorable. But it's one of those things that pretty much now with celebrities, you get a few backstage. Flo Rida, for example, has been used a couple times at most recent WrestleManias. Thank you. But it definitely doesn't have that same feel or that same flavor that the 80s and the 90s had when they would bring a celebrity to the table.
Right. All right. Well, I think we've pretty much covered it. I think it's time to go home on this episode.
Or to have another drink.
Well, we have another drink before we record our episode for 2 weeks from now.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right. Don't pull back the curtain too much.
All right.
But, yeah. That's how the celebrity impact works with wrestling. If there are any celebrities that you found entertaining, make sure to shout out about it on Twitter. Again, the handle is going to be at @wrestling_drunk. On behalf of...
So appropriate.
It actually is. On behalf of Eddie and Scott, I'm your designated host, Adam. Just want to remind you to enjoy your buzz and watch wrestling responsibly. 1, 2, 3. Cheers. Cheers. Welcome, everyone.
I knew this one girl who really liked wrestling. Yo, we should body slam, she would always text me. She says she likes it hardcore. Baseball bats and barbed wire, thumbtacks that are on fire. Yo, I think something ain't right. She threw me through a table last night. She don't know it ain't real life.
But you should see our home movies. They're pretty tight.
I'm in awe and it's awesome. She's like dope, it's a problem. Yeah, she a funny ho.
She's always laughing.
And a middle finger always flashing. I was like, girl, you so stone cold.
Some bumps, man, I can take some tumbles, but she thinks that every night is like a fucking Royal Rumble.